This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hey, it's Ready, Set, Bet here on a Saturday. Matt Brown and just Matt Brown here for the next 3 hours with you guys. Do not worry. We will have several other voices here on the program. Starting, Jeff Crane is going to come in, talk some college football with us. Jeremy Kahn is going to come in, talk some Baltimore Ravens as they take the field a little bit later today as well. Our very own Wes Reynolds, see if he has any in-game stuff going on here with the golf. I mean, Tom Kim is out there lighting the course up. We will get to all of that. Of course, the tying of this course record with Scottie Scheffler yesterday. The best player in the world is playing like the best player in the world. Shocker. Eddie Law is going to join us. We do have a UFC, a numbered UFC. We can no longer call them pay-per-views, but a numbered UFC coming to us here. We'll talk to him what he thinks. And who knows? Maybe we'll get a drop by here from some other people that are just wandering and meandering about here at Circa as we start to crank things up. I walked in, and last time I was in here, there were 17 Grandissimo entries. I look on the big board right there. There are now 20. So 20 people ponying up $100,000 to enter a Survivor contest. So absolutely wild. The $4 million guarantee seems like at this point going to get blown away. We still have contest week to come. We still have a week after that. You can actually, I don't know how many people would do this in a $100,000 contest, but you can actually sign up until week one starts. And so that very first game there of the week, even if you lost that one, you could come back in. So yeah, it's some interesting, and so long as you didn't go over the cap or anything like that from an entry standpoint. So we shall see, but I think that $4 million bonus, we get 6.9 last year, 69 different entries. I think the $4 million guarantee is going to get blown away this year. So NFL is king. So even though we are in the middle of baseball season, let's go ahead and start with the preseason stuff from the NFL. Commanders 20, Dolphins 7 in that game. And as you take a look here in this one, no Jaden Daniels, we get no Rashad White, no Crosby Merritt, no McLaurin, no Diggs, no anything like that. Marcus Mariota, though, something that you do want to keep an eye on here whenever we're looking, kind of moving forward. Left this game with an injury. It looked not good. It was one of the, like, you know, knee varieties with the non-contact type of stuff. And so Mariota, one of the better backups in all the NFL, probably one of the ones that we certainly trust the most when it comes to things. And we know Jaden Daniels has certainly had not the cleanest injury history. So if you want to kind of tuck that away in the back of your handicapping here for this Commanders team moving forward, kind of the story of this one were the running backs here for the Commanders. Catron Allen, 23 for 85 and a touchdown. Robert Henry, 12, 75 and a touchdown for him as well. Over on the Miami side, they did play their starters out there for a little bit. Malik Willis, 4 of 5 for 43 yards. Devon Achan, 7 carries, 39 yards, touchdown for him. They did go down and score with the starters in. So while the score, 20-7, is the final, when the starters were in, they did march down the field and go down and score on the Commanders' defense. So if you're looking for the glass half full here stuff for the Miami Dolphins, you can look right there and just at least say the starters went down and they scored on the Commanders. That said, one of the interesting things that I saw when I looked at the snap counts for this one, and it's worth just kind of tucking away. We don't know. There's still a couple more preseason games and a little bit of camp left and all this. But Jalen Reagor, that Jalen Reagor was out there with the starters in 11 personnel, interestingly enough, for Miami, which I thought was pretty interesting. He was on the Chargers practice squad last year. He actually didn't sign with Miami until early June, but he was the starter out there in 11 personnel. So something for us to keep an eye on. So former first rounder, obviously bounced around the league, never really panned out, but was out there with the starters, at least for Miami here in week number one of the preseason. Bucks 24, Jets 16. No starters for Tampa in this one. And really, if you kind of look at the box score, like no really even second stringers going on there for Tampa. So that was something that, we're used to here with this Bucs team. No Geno Smith for the Jets. Also, Kenyon Sadiq didn't play in this one as he's nursing a little bit of an injury. First rounder there for the Jets as well. Three quarterbacks got a look for the Jets here in this one. Brady Cook, 9 of 15 for 108. Cade Klubnik, kind of the presumed backup here in this one, 5 of 7 for 56. Bailey Zappe, 6 of 10, 55. He did throw two interceptions in this one. But, you know, again, the presumed backup here, Cade Klubnik for this Jets team. And we do have Aaron Glenn with his thoughts on Klubnik.
I mean, when we watched him in college, I mean, he was the same way. Nothing changes. He has some moxie to him. He's very confident. He's confident in his arm. He's confident in his ability to elude and make plays with his feet. And his ability to be able to come out and operate with the first group the way that he did, to me, I thought was outstanding. So still some things that he have to learn, some mistakes that he made in the game. But listen, he's going to be quick to correct those, just like the other players are, and we're going to continue to move forward.
Moxie. You love to hear when a guy has some moxie out there. Breece Hall, 4 carries, 16 yards. That said, I don't know if this is a sign of things to come here with this. Technically, from a carry standpoint, he split with Braylon Allen, but on that opening drive, he played 10 of 11 snaps. And so I don't know if there's going to be a more concerted effort to get Breece Hall as kind of the more bell cow back. One of the reasons, you know, we talk about this often. Doesn't seem like the NFL really wants to go that direction. There's only a handful of them as it is anyway, but it does seem like maybe, if anything, says it's very small sample size. It's only the first preseason game. I don't want to overreact to anything, but certainly something for us to keep an eye on there with him. If that's the case, maybe there is some upside here to some sort of stuff from a season-long prop perspective, a game-to-game prop perspective, and maybe even fantasy if you're out there in fantasy season here getting your drafts done and all that. Garrett Wilson, 2 catches on 3 targets for 32 yards. The other personnel note here, which was interesting, the starting wide receivers for the Jets was Garrett Wilson, A.D. Mitchell out there. And then Isaiah Williams was actually running with the starters in 11 personnel. Omar Cooper seemed to be with the second stringers. Now, obviously, he's a rookie, and this is over the course of training camp, he could work his way into the starting lineup. But at least right now, it looks like he's kind of on the outside looking in. I still expect him to overtake Isaiah Williams at some point there as a starter. Broncos 27, Falcons 7. No Bo Nix, no Michael Penix. You get Jared Stidham and Sam Ehlinger in this one. 9 of 15 for 131 and a touchdown for Stidham. Ehlinger, 10 of 14 for 67 on the Miami Broncos side of things. Also, no Jalen Waddle, no Marvin Mims. Cortland Sutton did play, actually. Caught all 3 of his targets for 60 yards in this one. Tua looked shaky at best in his Atlanta debut. He 2 drives, 2 punts, 3 of 5 for 22 yards, botched a shotgun snap, was throwing off of his back foot. All of his yardage went to Kyle Pitts, by the way. He had 3 for 22 yards. That was all of the passing yardage that Tua was able to muster here in this one. Bijan Robinson didn't play in this. Brian Robinson did, actually. That's going to be confusing to a lot of people as they're looking through box scores over the course of the season. But Drake London played 2 snaps, ran 1 route, so he didn't really play either. And another just an interesting nugget here, kind of note, Jahan Dotson played 100% of the snaps with the starters here. So it looks like he's kind of on track to be wide receiver 2 there in that one. Over in Major League Baseball, the Cubs blank the Cardinals 3-0. Clay Holmes, 6 2/3 innings, 1 hit, 1 walk, 3 Ks, no earned for him. Seiya Suzuki, 2 for 4, a double and a homer, 3 RBI. This is a team that is 8-2 over their last 10. Now they're just 3 games behind the Milwaukee Brewers in the NL Central. So what looked to be maybe an insurmountable lead, it looked like this Brewers team was just going to run away with that division. They go on a bit of a slide. You get a bit of a run here from the Cubs, and just 3 games back with about 40-ish to play there in that division. On the Cardinals side of things, tough luck loss there for Matthew Liberatore. 5 2/3, 2 hits, 1 walk, 6 Ks, just the 2 earned, and that was enough to get him the loss there in that one. So this St. Louis team just could muster 3 singles in this one against Clay Holmes and company, and then it fall to 61-61 on the season, 3.5 out of the final NL wildcard spot. So they're not out of it, and certainly a team that could, like any of these, go on some sort of little run and get right in the middle of it again. But the Cardinals, 500 on the season, 3.5 out of that NL wildcard race right now. The Reds and the Marlins in an awesome pitching duel. If you like offense, you didn't want to watch this one, but Chase Burns, 7 innings, 4 hits, no walks, 8 Ks. He's now up to 14-2 on the season. And this is for a team that's sub 500, by the way, on the year. You look here, Alcantara, just got outdueled in this one. He went 7, 3 hits. He did walk 4, but one earned. And that is that's all he gave up, and loses this one 1-0 there for the Marlins. I do wonder if they are going to regret not trading him and getting as much as they could for him, because he's really turned it on basically right before the trade deadline. And since the trade deadline, he has looked kind of like the Sandy of old. And that's going to be an interesting deal if they don't end up making the playoffs this year and missed out on an opportunity to really cash in on what was ended up being kind of a soft starter market at the trade deadline outside of Skubal. You know, it ended up being pretty soft. And I think Alcantara could have brought a ton for them there in that one. Pirates beat the Red Sox 8-4 last night. Bubba Chandler, another decent outing for this Pirates team who so desperately need somebody to kind of step up for them. They get a big step up out of Braxton Ashcraft in his last start as well. 5 innings, 4 hits, 2 walks, 5 Ks for him, only 2 earned there in that one. Boston's lost 6 of their last 7. So after going on this just ridiculous run, you kind of look up. They're still 65-57. They still hold a wild card spot by 5 games, but it just reminds you how this baseball thing works. You go on heaters, then you can get cold. That's kind of the cold streak right now for this Red Sox team. Again, lost 6 of their last 7 here in this one. Remember, we still going to talk golf in this thing. We still have UFC 330 to talk. There is all kinds of preseason NFL games today that we have to talk about and get to and preview and all of that. So we still have a ton of work to do in this one. Some exact finishing positions also in some of these NFL to be a pretty cool market that you have over at BetMGM. Just laid out in a nice little table there for you. And this is what, if you think they're going to finish 3rd in the division, here's the price, and you can pick that team to finish 3rd in there. We'll go over some of those and see if there's any value, or at least what we would pay for some of these teams where I think that they are going to finish. It's Ready, Set, Bet here on Beast and the Sports Betting Network.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
Welcome back to Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Appreciate you guys being with us here, channel 158. We have our VSiN Watch app. We also have YouTube TV. You can build your own quad box, and that's going to come in handy today. There's going to be a lot of stuff going on. Just throw us in one of the 4 boxes, leave the sound on that one right there, listen to us go through all the stuff throughout the course of the day, and you can watch the stuff on the other 4 quads. So do that, and of course, terrestrial stations across this great country of ours, coming through here. Devin Witherspoon is rich. If you guys are unaware, Devin Witherspoon, one of the best corners in all of football, playing with the Seattle Seahawks. 4-year, $132 million extension, according to Adam Schefter. Over $101 million in guaranteed money for him. And so you kind of see the trend here, right, where do teams spend? And they are starting to spend more at the corner position because these wide receivers are so incredibly awesome. And so see these guys that can play at a super, super high level. These teams don't want them to go anywhere. Don't want them to test the market. Devin Witherspoon, a very rich man now, 101 in guaranteed, 132 overall, 4 years with the Seattle Seahawks. So if you are wondering, if the Seahawks are pumping the brakes at all after winning the Super Bowl, the answer to that one quickly, no. Most people think sports betting is about picking winners. Well, Ungambled is built on a different idea, which is matched betting and arbitrage. It's a tool that teaches you how to use sportsbook bonuses and promotional offers to capture value, whether or not your side covers. As Ungambled backs it up, if you don't turn a profit on your bankroll in 8 weeks, they'll refund your membership. If you want to learn more, you can start with the free guide, Ungambled. So ungambled.com/VSIN. That's ungambled.com/VSIN. Use the promo code VSIN. VSIN for 10% off. Be sharp, but look square. So be sure and take advantage of all of that. As we head back here to Major League Baseball, the White Sox, a very key win yesterday in the AL Central. They beat the Tigers 9-5. You look up and you see this is one of those where this Tigers team still playing at a decently high level even after shipping off Mize and Skubal. And listen, that was because not only did you have some guys that were still pitching fairly good. Obviously, Framber Valdez has been a complete bust. They are banking on the fact that he'll be able to turn it around at some point there. You have Melton, who's been throwing really, really well. You knew Jackson Jobe was coming back as well for them. And so they kind of just looked at it and thought, okay, we can still get a haul in return while also probably trying to compete in what is ultimately going to be one of the weakest divisions in baseball in quite some time. And so with this, they win 9-5 over the Tigers. They keep that lead there in the Central. Miguel Vargas, he actually carried it 4-for-5 in this one, a double, a couple home runs there, 3 RBIs. He actually talked about this after the game.
Miguel, your first four-hit game of the season, what felt right for you at the plate tonight?
I've been a little bit struggling at the plate, and, today we know how important this series is for us, and, I just try to help my team offensively, and I have a good night at the plate, and, it feels good to win tonight.
You were a triple shy of the cycle, and some would argue that's the hardest leg of the cycle. Did you think two homers just sounded better?
Yeah, I was talking about with the Joel before the at-bat. I was like, oh, I go right center in this at-bat trying to get a triple, and he was might not well hit another one. And, I was running the base to think about that, but, I'm glad that I did that, and, happy to get a W today.
Come for the Miguel Vargas take and stay for the Whitney Houston there in the background. So a little added bonus there on that sound clip. Jackson Jobe got hit hard for the Tigers, 3 2/3, 9 hits against him, 6 earned. He had looked better since coming back up. Probably not going to happen overnight, so I wouldn't overreact to him getting pounded there in that one. Pretty good. Orioles snapped the Rays 9-game win streak, 6-5 there in that one. This Rays team just continues to win, continues to get it done, figuring things out. That said, couldn't get it done last night to get to 10 in a row against the Orioles over there in that one. Padres won their 6th in a row. They beat the Guardians 7-5. Michael King, 6 innings, 4 Ks, 3 earned against him. You got Fernando Tatis, who has really, really turned it around. You remember how much he struggled at the beginning of the season. Now he's still only up to 11 homers on the year. But when you were sitting at zero for what felt like forever, pretty good to have the 11 homers there at this point. He's running. He's hitting for average. He's getting on base. His OBP is great. Guardians, Gavin Williams, 4 1/3, 7 hits, 4 walks for him there in that one, which turned into 5 earned. And so you kind of look, this Cleveland team really sputtering right now at the absolute worst time. This would have been a time when you saw the White Sox start to lose a few more games. You see this Tigers team kind of start to surge on their own. You couldn't be falling behind both, and they just have not been able to keep up pace here. So Guardians kind of really on the outside looking in now. Diamondbacks blank the Braves 2-0. Another gem here by Brandon Fought. And 7 innings, 2 hits, no walks, 7 Ks for him. This guy is a dude that we were like writing off. It was the super hyped prospect that never really came around, and instead he just came around like this, the post hype sleeper here for Fought, and has looked really, really great for this Diamondbacks team, who have themselves firmly in a playoff position as well. You look here, Chris Sale, another one of these kind of hard luck losses, right? 6 innings, no walks, 9 Ks, 1 earned, but he lost because his team couldn't hit Fought on the other side of this. Now Atlanta still 73-49 on the year, leading that NL East, but blew a really, really great start out of Chris Sale here in this one, as they couldn't get anything on the board for him. The Astros beat the Mariners 10-7 in 10 innings. We look up now, and you guys remember about a month and a half ago, when we were screaming, hey, let's get those Astros ALS tickets in the account, and we ended up finally pulling the trigger at +950. Well, they are now 63-60 and have a 3-game lead in the AL West, so I'm becoming a massive Astros fan here down the stretch. Christian Walker hit a homer in that one. Yordan Alvarez hit a homer, shocker there for this team. It's just George Kirby got pounded early, and they just never could kind of dig out of the hole with all of that. He gave up 5 runs really, really early on in this one. He did settle in, but it was a little bit too little too late on this. Seattle lost 8 of their last 10. They're 57-66 on the season, so this is kind of quickly becoming a lost season for this Mariners team that people had so much high hopes for on the year. Dodgers hand the Brewers their 4th loss in their last 5 games. So again, we thought this Brewers team taken off. They were, remember just a week ago, the best record in all Major League Baseball. Then they go and they lose 4 or 5. Yamamoto, awesome. 6 innings, 9 Ks for him, just 1 earned. So really great start for him there in that one. We look over real quick before we get into today's slate. We do have the golf tournament going on over there at TPC Southwind. This is the top 70, actually ended up being the top 69 as we had Daniel Berger pull out with injury. So the top 69 are actually battling it out over there to try to get into the top 50 to be able to move on to next week. Right now, Scottie Scheffler is your leader. He went out, just shot a 60, casual 61 yesterday, tied the course record there at TPC Southwind, had a birdie putt to set the course record and just didn't get it to fall. This is the reminder that we kept saying, you listen to long shots, here's the cheap plug, go in, subscribe, rate, review, all the things like that, wherever you get your podcasts. Oh, go to the YouTube channel as well. You can watch us. He's not only been the best player, it's still by a long shot, right? Like, it's just hard to get across the finish line. He still won a tournament this year. There are guys that haven't won tournaments in years that we still consider to be elite players. Patrick Cantlay had won in 4 years, and Patrick Cantlay was like 20-1 to win this tournament. And so you look at all of this and you forget, like, 11 top fives for Scottie Scheffler on the season. 11 top fives for Scottie Scheffler. All he did was go out and do what he's been doing all season long, except he just made a few more putts. And so with that, he's got a 3-stroke lead currently right now over Sungjae Im and Victor Hovland. Ludwig had a good day yesterday, and he's sitting at 7-under and 4 strokes off. Tom Kim is out there just lighting the course up right now. Don't know if it'll be too little too late for him as he only has the weekend to catch up, but he's 6-under on the tournament, and he's 7-under today, if that tells you where he started. 7-under through 12 holes for Tom Kim as he goes out and birdies 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 10 to have that going, this kind of round going on right now. So we'll obviously be watching Tom Kim and see what he can get done throughout the course of the rest of this tournament. Still guys that are lurking and lingering. Tommy Fleetwood, Jordan Spieth, they're sitting kind of 6-under. If they were to go super, super low, maybe they could put some pressure on Scotty. But it looks like we're going to be getting still star-studded, right? Scheffler, Hovland, Oberg. Maybe Tom Kim plays his way into it today. You got all of that. Sungjae Im, obviously a pedigreed player there too. So definitely keep an eye on that one. White Sox and Tigers is the game that I do have a play in here this morning. It's going to be the first one that gets going. I got the Tigers at minus 134. It is kind of been on the move just a little bit here in this one. I am okay with buying in on Troy Melton. I know that a lot of people are going to look and they point and they're like, oh man, his ERA is so much lower than his expected. Well, when you have a 1.47 ERA, it's going to be lower than your expected. Of course it's going to be lower than your expected. It's almost impossible for your expected to be lower than a 1.47. What does he have to show you? Over his last five starts, his ERA is 0.88. It's still backed up by a 2.9 expected. A 2.9 ERA is absolutely fine. Actually, it's stellar in today's Major League Baseball. So Troy Melton backing him and the Tigers today. Anthony Kay gets hammered by right-handers. There's some nice right-handed bats in this Tigers lineup. I do believe that they're going to be able to take advantage of that. When we come back, the NFL preseason rolls on. What do those lines look like? Anything we want to play? Find out right here.
Welcome back to Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN. Matt Brown with you here. As we get into NFL preseason football, of course, we have several games already in the books, but several games today, three that we're going to talk about here in this segment. I'm going to kick things off here with the Browns and the Bears. I'm going to give you the most current line here on this one to make sure that we've got this all covered. We are sitting right now 2.5 pretty much across the internet. Oh, if you're into Fanatics, it's gotten to 3 in favor of Cleveland. This opened on the other side, actually. 39.5, the prevailing total, though we always have that FanDuel off market, you know, point off, it seems like. 38.5 over there with them in this one. So we know the intrigue here in this game, right? We're trying to figure out what exactly is Cleveland going to do with this season. And that's going to start at the quarterback position. And Todd Monken talks here about that quarterback battle.
We're going to see both of them. I mean, one's going to start this week and one's going to start next week. Right. And we're going to play about a similar. I'd like to see a quarterback play a half and get a 2 minute. We're going to do everything we can to try and get a 2 minute, right? Simulate that for the half, and we're going to try to do the exact same thing the next week.
Why one versus Chicago and the other versus Buffalo? I mean, which one?
You have to pick.
I know.
I mean, some of all, I got to pick somebody. Yeah. So I have my reasons. I have my reasons of how it's going to go, and it's not, I mean, it's still a competition. We're still excited to watch guys practice today, let alone, you know, on Saturday and the next week against Buffalo. And we'll get a chance to see them both. And then every week we'll assess it. It'll be a little bit more difficult with the player that doesn't play as much this week or the other quarterbacks, right? We'll be able to assess, you know, in terms of the quarterback that started, how he played, and when the other guys came in and played. And then the opposite will be next week against Buffalo.
The he that he is talking about is Deshaun Watson, who is going to start here in this one. Shador Sanders starts next week against Buffalo. And so you look and trying to read between the tea leaves here. I mean, I can only imagine if you look at this and you sit in a room and the walls, you know, are not bugged and everything that you say is super confidential, you're getting Cleveland starting to talk about the draft for next season and trying to figure out what they need to do to make sure that they're in one of the top spots for next year's draft. They are in the worst, one of the worst quarterback positions that you've ever been in. You made the most disastrous trade in the history of the NFL for Deshaun Watson. I think you have to just go down with the ship. You can't really go Shador Sanders to Deshaun Watson and then find out that Deshaun Watson is still washed and then go back to Shador Sanders. It's kind of like you just got to start Deshaun Watson, see if there's anything left in the tank. If he's washed, it's pretty easy. You go to the podium and say, hey, listen, we gave Deshaun a shot, and we're going to go with the young kid and see what he can do, and we move on, and that's it, and that's the end of Deshaun Watson probably in the NFL. But it would shock me if this battle, and I use the air quote, if this really is a battle and this isn't already known that's going to be Deshaun Watson, and honestly, you might even be hoping this Deshaun Watson that he is washed. Because if we believe what all of these people are saying about next year's draft, and you're the Cleveland, and you're the Cleveland Browns, and you're the front office, and you're sitting in that room, you have to be at the top of the draft. You have to. I know the players are going to play hard, but you can put the worst quarterback behind center. You can do that. That's one thing you can control. You can put the guy that's going to give you the least opportunity to win. And it's probably, unfortunately, the sad case of Deshaun Watson here. And I say sad from just a football perspective, not off-field stuff like that. That's not sad. But just a guy that was widely considered a top three or four quarterback in all of the NFL to fall down to a point where he is in a quarterback battle with Shador Sanders to actually start the season is absolutely wild here in this one. If you look, we're going to get nothing from Chicago in this one. None of their starters are going to play. It's one of those deals where, you know, Tyson Bagent going to go here for Chicago. We've seen a decent amount of Bagent. We know that he can kind of hold his own. I mean, we've seen him in regular season. He's had to have regular season action and stuff. So I don't think that it's crazy to think that he can't go out there and play decent. The fact that this is now moved to a full field goal, as soon as that it got bought up, but it looks like it might tick back and forth between 2.5 and 3 in favor of Cleveland. I don't know for sure. I don't like these. I almost automatically go the opposite side once we get to a field goal or more in these preseason games because the differences in the teams aren't really all that much when it comes down to it. I mean, I know some teams might play starters and some might not, but these starters for Cleveland, what is on the offensive side specifically? Obviously, the defense is great there in Cleveland, but on the offensive side, is that really anything that scares you going up against even another NFL team's second teamers? I mean, I don't know that this is like a full field goal type of game. Again, that did get bought down, but it does look like go back up. We're at -115. So it seems like people want to come in on the Browns and the thought that Deshaun Watson playing what Monken says could be a half is going to be enough there in that one. Not enough for me. If this gets on the other side of three, I will back Chicago, but I doubt it will get there. It seems like once we hit that three, everybody's coming in and anxious to get back in on the other side there in that one. We got the Vikings and the Giants. Of course, we have Harbaugh's debut with the Giants here in this one. And he is being very vague, which is great for us as bettors, right? You know what we love is when a coach goes up there and like, we're like, hey man, who's going to play in the preseason? Just curious. You know, this is an important information for people out there, for millions of people who may or may not want to get a little something down here on this one. And this is kind of how Harbaugh handled it.
So here's the thing. If I talk about one guy and say, well, how much he's going to play, then what's the next follow-up question going to be? It's going to be the next guy. Then the next guy. Then the next guy. So I plan on not talking about who's going to play. That's what I plan on doing. I just decided just to leave it out there. You'll see when the game comes. It'll make the speculation so much more fun, you know, if you don't know exactly what's going to happen.
So there we have it. Great. Appreciate that. He doesn't want to have to answer questions, even though he's up there doing things where you answer questions. That's what you do when you stand at the microphone, you answer questions. But he don't want to answer questions. And so here we are. Don't really know exactly how this is going to play out. Now, I imagine here in the next little bit, we might start to get stuff trickling out as maybe who is going to be, you know, under center or something like that. But again, this is just incredibly frustrating for all of us, especially of us that like to bet this stuff. So that kind of is how it is. On the Viking side of things, we know we're going to see both quarterbacks in this one, both being Kyler Murray and J.J. McCarthy. Kyler Murray named the starter for the Minnesota Vikings. J.J. McCarthy handled it pretty well. You know, I mean, basically said, and I can only handle what I can handle. True. I guess you could have played better. There's also that if you wanted to overtake Kyler Murray. But you brought in Kyler Murray to start. I mean, you didn't bring in Kyler Murray to be a backup. You want to see if there's anything left in the tank. You want to talk. Someone who actually does have upside is stuff left in the tank. Like, I think Deshaun Watson, it's just that ship has sailed. But there actually is still upside here on Kyler Murray. I mean, we've seen Kyler Murray play at a very high level before in the NFL. We've also seen Kyler Murray play on some really bad teams, which makes him look bad. Specifically, Kyler Murray gets a little panicky whenever the offensive line isn't super, super solid. And now look at these playmakers he's going to have around him. I actually expect some decent stuff out of Kyler Murray up there in Minnesota. As we sit right now here in this one, 1.5 in favor of the Vikings. Giants, Giants not getting much love here in this market. 41.5 is our prevailing total. And again, it would probably be Minnesota or pass. I think that Harbaugh was basically saying he didn't really want to play starters. Even if he did, it was kind of like, I might throw him out there for series, and I didn't want you to ask me why I'm only playing him for one series or whatever it might be. So kind of a decent lean there to the Vikings for me in that one. Now, our final, Carolina and Buffalo, and one thing that we definitely do know here in this one is they open that fancy new stadium up there in Buffalo. We are, in fact, going to see their starter, as Joe Brady says.
I don't think any, like, 1 year is the same, and there's a lot of the factors that go into it, right? Sometimes there's, you know, there's injuries that play in, you know, there's bodies, but I think we get an opportunity to go into the stadium, and I want the guys, hey, how do we respond from the red-blue practice, you know, us going through it and getting that pregame routine and going out there, and look, I want to see guys get hits. I want to see guys tackle. I want to see the finishing of the play and the how and all of this. So there's so many variables with it. We obviously have a new everything, right? And so it's our first opportunity for us to come together and you show an example of what the Buffalo Bills, you know, are about. And so I think that that's important.
They're opening up a brand new multi-billion-dollar stadium. Yeah, the starters are going to start in the first ever snaps that are taken inside of that stadium. And so as we sit right now there in this one, Buffalo favored by 2.5 or 3. You can find a 2.5 at FanDuel, 3 everywhere else, 39.5 is a prevailing total here in this one. Jonathan Brooks going to start at running back there. Chuba Hubbard is sidelined right now, so Brooks is going to get some run here. Been getting tons and tons of love there in camp from him and all of the stuff that people have seen out of him. So this seems like one of those opportunities for maybe him to try to steal some playing time if he can show out with Chuba Hubbard being on the sideline here in this one. Guys, week zero college football is almost here with the NFL regular season right behind it. Now's the time to get your edge with VSiN Pro. You know how this works, right? You go over, go to VSiN.com/subscribe. We got an awesome special running for you, $9.99 to dip your toe in. And you get every single thing that we do. So you get all the articles breaking down sports across the entire sports landscape. You get all of the daily picks on the picks page. You also get to watch the video replays. You get all the tools that we're throwing up there as well. We got projection systems now, all kinds of crazy stuff over at VSiN.com. So right now, VSiN.com/subscribe, as little as $9.99. When we come back, let's talk some college football with Jake Crane.
Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Pretty Set Bet here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We just talked about John Harbaugh being a little coy with what's going on. We said stuff would start trickling in. He is going to play Jackson Dart, at least at the beginning of this game. I think we need to get ready for the regular season. That's what we're aiming for in our situation right now, playing a little bit in the preseason and getting a feel for the game, making adjustments, whatever, yada, 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 and stuff like that. So interesting there in that one. Any other stuff that ends up trickling through, we will certainly let you know. We're going to shift gears over to college football and bring in Jake Crane from On3. Crane and Company over there, College Football Show. You can find him at Jake Crane _ over there on the Twitter machine. Jake, appreciate the time, man.
Oh, no, appreciate you guys having me. Love watching y'all. Y'all do a really good job.
I appreciate it, man. And listen, I know had to ask you where you were from. And where you know, not the same part, but say, you know, same vicinity down there in the South. And I love to talk some SEC football with all of this. And I will admit, soft spot in my heart for LSU. Spent the best, 9 years trying to get a degree down there in my life, with all of that. But in all seriousness, this is one of the big offseason stories. Obviously, Kevin coming down there, all the drama around everything. And then you've got all the stuff going on now with the number and Jaden Daniels and all the crazy stuff with all of that somehow becoming a distraction as we head into the season. But if we're just talking about what Lane Kiffin and them assembled in the transfer portal and what they're going to put on the field this year, mm-hmm. what do you kind of think a baseline is, and then what was an upside for this team?
Yeah, well, look, I think the natty or bust talk, I understand the standard at a place like LSU when you can get as hot as they do in Baton Rouge when it's going well. We know how much they've won. We know the success that they've had. I mean, Ed Orgeron won a national title. Les Miles won one. I mean, one smoked the grass, the other one ate it. They still won it. It was shocking. Brian Kelly didn't win one. But I will say this. I think when you spend $40 million on a roster, you expect a pretty good return. And I like the ads that they've made through the transfer portal. But I think one of the biggest things, and everybody talks about Kiffin, I get it. Talk about Leavitt, how he's looking after the foot injury, I get it. But I think the biggest thing that Lane did was keep Blake Baker. Blake Baker, he's going to be a head coach soon. I love what he's done for that defense, not only schematically. They have an answer for everything. Their pressures are good. They mix coverages. They disguise well. But the violence is back on that defensive side of the ball. Because, I grew up, and I'm sure you did too, especially, living in Louisiana and going to LSU. I mean, it was basically the Where the Wild Things Are book up front for those guys on defense. It seemed like every single year. So it's balance that keeps you on the beam. And that's been LSU's problem. 2019, Jaden Daniels, 2019 with Joe Burrow. We know the offense was better than the defense, but they were balanced. They won a title. Jaden Daniels, offense was great. Defense was bad. You don't win a title. So I like the balance of this team. You know, we say on Crane and Cone all the time, the teams that win the most and the biggest can win the most ways. And with LSU, you feel like they can win a lot of ways.
So let's go to the other side of this. I'm sure the game won't matter all that much when LSU heads up to Ole Miss. I'm sure no one will talk about that as that one approaches here. But that Ole Miss team, bringing back the most important part, quarterback. I mean, no matter what you say, the quarterback, if you don't have a quarterback, it's very tough to win. What do you see here from this Ole Miss squad?
Well, we can sit here and talk about Trinidad and Kevon Lacy, which, I think is the best duo quarterback to running back in the whole country. But that's what everybody's going to talk about, and that's obvious. What I don't think a lot of people talk about with Ole Miss, and the reason why Ole Miss was able to elevate themselves recently is the same reason why you saw, Utah elevate out in the Pac-12, why you see Indiana elevate. It's the line of scrimmage. I love Ole Miss's offensive line. At the end of the day, the offensive line is the heart of the body. It's the engine in the car. It's the root system of the tree. If they're not good, then you're not going to be able to operate regardless of how good Trinidad Chambliss is, Kevon Lacy is, any of those guys are. So when I look at this Ole Miss team and I look at them defensively, Perkins coming back, you've got some guys that can do some things. I know they lost Prince to LSU, but I think this Ole Miss team is prepared up front to be able to battle teams. That was the most impressive part of the Miami game last year, even though it was a loss. Ole Miss was able to hang around up front, and that's where Miami really made their hay. So I think this Ole Miss team, the schedule's brutal. There's a lot of brutal schedules out there in the SEC and the Big Ten especially. But if the line of scrimmage can hold up with what they have around, with the wide receiver core that I really like, with a secondary that I really like, this Ole Miss team has got as good of a chance as anybody, and I think you're going to see them in the college football playoff once again. I mean, Pete Golding, you beat Kirby Smart once. That doesn't make you an amazing coach, but heck, you kill Vader in the first try. That's pretty impressive.
Talking to Jay Crane on Three Sports, Crane and Cone over there. If we look at Alabama, this might be the first year in quite some time that when people are sitting here and we're getting to close to football season and everyone wants to talk about real contender, that Alabama isn't kind of in that first conversation, right? It seems like they're kind of in that second conversation that you have. Is that fair? What do you think of this Alabama squad?
Well, I think it is. And I think some people, especially if you're not somebody that follows this, you know, through life and death, don't realize what Ty Simpson was able to do last year with no run game. I mean, we live in a world now where Alabama is mortal up front. And when I look at teams and I'm projecting and I'm sitting here saying, all right, I think this team's going to finish here, which is what we've done on Crane & Cone. We got a lot of predictions out there. We're going to have our conference championship winners, national title winners here this next week. But I look at the recipe and the ingredients. And I think when Nick Saban was at Alabama, yes, he monopolized the sport. But one of the most underrated things that he did was roster management. He would never lose too much at one time where you had kind of symbiotic positions having to rebuild. For example, offensive line and quarterback. If you're green there and you're new there and you've had problems in the past, if either one of those things don't work, you're not going to work. So I'm supposed to sit here and just say, you know what? Alabama, they weren't able to run the ball at all last year, but this year it's all going to be fixed. Oh, and that brand new quarterback that went off last year and Ty Simpson, oh, they can just roll another guy out there and he'll do the same thing. I don't see that happening. Now, we live in a crazy world right now. It could happen. Alabama could be amazing. The defense should be stellar. There's some questions about the front seven, but the secondary is basically Azkaban. You're not getting through there. But when I look at new quarterback and offensive line that still has to prove it, I worry about that. Now, you look at Alabama's schedule, they're going to start 5-0, but the question in the season is going to be determined by that 6-9, week 6, really through 10, if you look at it, if Alabama's going to be 9-3, 10-2, or possibly even 8-4. But this is not old Alabama. You cannot dominate the sport the way that Nick Saban did and Kirby had started to do before it changed. I think they're mortal in some areas, and right now I do not have them in the college football playoff.
Let's head up the road to Auburn, and you look here, and if I look at the odds to be the SEC championship winner, you get to 10 other teams before you get to Auburn. One of those teams is Missouri. Could you imagine talking about Missouri being better than Auburn whenever you were in the thick of all of this? But here we are, 43-1 just to win the SEC. What is the outlook there on the Tigers?
Well, I will say, and I think you can say the same thing about Summerall at Florida. I like the culture that is being formed at Auburn. I think when you look at Hugh Freeze and Billy Napier, there are some similarities in kind of the, hey, look, you know, winning matters, but as long as we're good people and we walk old ladies across the street and we buy all the Girl Scout cookies every time we walk past one of those tables, it's okay. That's really what matters the most. You should want to be a good person to be a good person, but winning matters. When you're getting paid millions of dollars, when these college towns run on the economy of the athletic department, which in 99% of the cases is football, winning matters. This kumbaya, hold hands, everybody be friends, winning really doesn't matter that much as long as we all win off the field. That's not the way this thing works. And it seems like Auburn the past couple of years, it was basically a youth camp. Hey, let's all show up and make macaroni necklaces and run around in the woods and play cops and robbers or cowboys and Indians. Golish is not about that. Golish is about winning. And he brought that core over from South Florida that has had success, similar to what Sig did, bringing the core guys of JMU over to Indiana to establish that culture, because it has to be established early. You know, there's an old saying in coaching, you can always start harder and get easier. You can never start easier and get harder. And that's been Auburn's problem. And I think Golish, with some personnel, the offensive line's a question mark. We're going to have to see that. The defense should be stellar. Keeping Durkin's kind of like keeping Baker at LSU. But I feel like this Auburn team could get to 8. And as bad as it's been for the last 5 years, I'll hire a mariachi band to follow me around if Auburn wins 8 games.
Jake, we got about 45 seconds left. I know there's not enough time to talk about the Heisman market, but who are one or two names that you are really following here?
Well, you look at the odds. This isn't some crazy take. I think Mensa at Miami, with the weapons he has around him, with the way that they've reloaded and developed on the offensive line with Malachi Toney and the rest of the wizards and witches they got running around and Mark Fletcher in the backfield, plus a steady defense, I think he's going to get a lot of opportunities. He's probably my number one right now. But if you're looking for somebody that's kind of sneaky, maybe somebody that people really aren't, you know, super duper high on, I look at Maiava at USC. I think he has a chance. If you're trying to get some bang for your buck, I love the way they look on the line of scrimmage this year. I think it's the best team Lincoln's had. Hardest schedule, but best team up front. I don't think you'd be crazy to, you know, get that $20 from under the mattress and go sprinkle a little bit on Mayava to win the Heisman this year. I mean, it's Lincoln Riley. It wouldn't be the craziest thing that's ever happened.
He's Jake Crane. You have to check out Crane and Cone over there on three at Jake Crane _ over on the Twitter machine as well. Man, appreciate chopping it up with you and good luck this season.
Hey, anytime. I'm about to go pick up our second daughter, was born a day and a half, and bring her home. So this is a great appetizer, and we're really excited. Come check us out. We love ball. We love to have fun.
Congrats, buddy. Appreciate the time. When we come back, buddy, Let's take a look here at a couple of thoughts here on Baltimore Ravens and what they got.